Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Alrighty, it is crossover time, which means we are joined by Mark Willard and Dan Dibley. And Buster Posey's got an hour and 15 minutes left till the trade deadline, and he's made one move. That was yesterday. What's up, gentlemen? What do you think?
Hello.
Okay.
I think there's going to be more. I think the breaking news sounder is going to go off in the next hour 14. That's what I think.
You know what?
At least once.
If you put the over-under at 1.5.
For trades?
For breaking news sounder in the next...
Well, we can't use it if someone else gets traded, right? Like, well, it has to be a Giants trade?
See, Risotto and us had that discussion. Should we use the breaking news sounder for a team making another team making a deal? And we decided no, unless it was a big boy,
right?
Yeah. And so I don't know if any big boys, right? Are there any big boys?
Quan's out there.
I mean,
I like Quan.
Well, Suarez already went.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
last night, right?
Yeah. Sandy Alcantara, is that a big boy?
Can be.
I mean, here's why I would vote no. I would vote yes if the Giants were a buyer. Because other teams acquiring players would affect what they're doing the rest of the way, because that would be their competition. But the Giants aren't a buyer.
Man.
So what other teams do right now is insignificant with regard to the Giants.
I thought they would be a buyer. I thought it would be their version of Christmas.
We all did.
Yeah,
They did 4 days ago.
I appreciate that.
If they don't make any other moves, I look forward to hearing what Buster will say at 3:15 and how he will portray the deal that they've already made, because it is a bit of a sell. It's sell-ish because you traded a player rather to a team that's ahead of you. So if you really want to catch the Mets, you don't help the Mets, but you did acquire three players who may help you now or later. So if that's your only trade ahead of the deadline, and again, you mentioned it's 90 hour and 11 minutes away, then I wonder how he's going to portray this after the skid they've been going through.
Now, this one would have been, did you guys hit the breaking news sounder when Carlos Correa got traded back to the Astros?
We had some fun with that.
Or did you?
Did we?
No, we didn't hit the sounder.
Okay, Risotto, you didn't hit the sounder. That one's kind of fun.
It is. But Giants dodged a bullet with that contract, I believe.
I mean,
like, he doesn't stink, but he ain't.
It feels like 80% of deals that are 7 years or longer end up being regrettable. But, boy, you're excited about them when they happen.
Yeah. And the Giants have two of them, so.
Exactly.
And you said 80% are regrettable?
I'm just making up a number, but doesn't it feel that way?
It does.
Like a 7, 8, 9, or 10-year deal is kind of like a weekend in Vegas.
Man.
Boy, you're excited on the way in. On the way in. Woo, sometimes on the way home, you're like, ouch. So, anyway,
let me throw this to Dibs just because
Because you can.
I'm
going
to throw it to Dibs.
Yeah, because there's a lot of the four people here in the room.
So we're talking about Devers. Yeah, tough start here. And Goose said, I'm worried about Devers. What if he's never the same player? And I'm like, actually, Devers is the one guy I don't worry about because he's going to be here for a while. Like, you're kind of stuck with him, right?
You are, and you also bank on track record. I'm more concerned about Jung-Hoo Lee because he doesn't have a track record.
Man.
He's been in the majors for almost one full year if you count plate appearances and games played. And
good call.
So far, he has not shown that he is worthy of the contract that he got. But Devers has a track record, and I think about it in terms of a golf round. And if Devers has, a 9-year deal, and you acquired him halfway through the first of 9 years. That's like an 18 half years. And so far through one hole of his 18 hole round, it's been a bogey. Maybe it's a double bogey. He still has 17 more holes, 8.5 more years to show you that he's actually capable of doing what he's done. So I'm not that worried at all. And also, when you talk to baseball people, new league, new city, new position, new teammates, new clubhouse, new manager, I do think a lot of those things give you a certain amount of grace in terms of your adjustment. And look at Adamas, who in July is number 3 in baseball in OPS. It took him March, April, May, part of June. He caught fire. So maybe Devers gets to September, he feels more comfortable, and he starts to be himself again. So put me in the not worried camp.
All right.
No, I like that.
I'm surprised. I thought you... Giants, what do you think? I mean, it feels
that
like...
That was the most stiny seconds of your
you
entire
answer
career.
The Devers part. Yeah,
I can answer the Devers part.
I was waiting for you
to go. Sorry, was that a false start on me? I thought you were...
we got football tonight.
I figured you guys be
first quarter
champing at the bit.
No, Devers, I'm with Dibs. I'm not worried at all. I think it is startling how much he strikes out.
Man.
Boy, he swings and misses a lot of pitches. So I think that's startling, but that's Rafi Devers. And I actually think, sometimes I almost get a little uncomfortable listening to the way San Francisco has talked about Rafi Devers, because it's like, I think credit people who don't make up their mind about someone until they meet them. That's true in life, but maybe not in baseball. Like, I hear a lot of people being like, boy, this Devers guy is a chump. It's like, wait, hold on a second. It's a three-time All-Star, north of 30 homers over four times, lifetime OPS over four. This is a phenomenal.
And a champ.
Phenomenal. One of the top 10 hitters in the game, period, unequivocal. And you're going to take 6 weeks now and decide that he sucks? That's odd to me, but I also get it because he's been totally disappointing so far. But I don't know why I would brand Rafi with that. As far as the long haul. So I'm with Dibs. I think Jung-Hoo Lee, and maybe not, maybe the right word is not worried. I think that there are suddenly now people in the Giants organization who are working over the next 2 months for their job that we didn't know were working for their job.
Man.
And yeah, Jung-Hoo Lee might be one of them. Patrick Bailey is one of them. And probably every single coach, including the top one. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
I'd be surprised if Bomel's not back next year. I'll say that right now. But I also think I'm hearing that Buster Posey is in the mood to shuffle the deck.
Okay. And I brought up and
the deck,
was,
you can define
fun.
The deck however you want.
I got you because my guy in Texas, your former manager, his contract's up. What if his old youngster hit him up and said, Skipper, you want to come back to the Bay?
Right.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I don't know if that is going to be the way that goes, but I do think that the last 53 games of the year matter more now to Bob Melvin than they did 2 weeks ago.
And that's all I'm asking.
So if you're sitting a game below and you end the year and you're 10 below, well, that's more than a fade. That is an outright collapse. If you wind up in the end of the year and you gut out at 84-78 and you don't make the playoffs, and darn it, this stretch is what cost us, but Bob Melvin made it so his team didn't quit on him. There was no Pusoy problem in the clubhouse. I think Bomel comes back. I think it would take a further collapse, a complete deterioration sensation.
That's true.
For him to lose his gig.
I agree, but here's the thing that makes, I think, is fair for people to wonder about what the hell's going on with coaching, and it's not the standings, it's the mistakes.
That man.
Like, whatever the hell you all are saying in these meetings, they're not hearing it.
Man.
They're not.
And Bomel told us there's a plural. There's an S on it.
Right.
Meetings.
Meetings. Well, they're not hearing you. And so it's not, I don't even know that makes it Bomel's fault. But here we go. All roads lead where?
Kuminga.
Okay. So that's it Kuminga's fault or Steve Kerr's fault? Well, I've arrived at, who cares whose fault it is?
And Dunleavy.
It's not fault. It just isn't a mix. And right now, the Giants look like not a mix.
Man.
You want to fire the players? Do you want to fire the coach?
I do. But
yeah, one's easier than the other.
Or maybe some of both.
Yeah. Which
maybe
I think,
some of both.
Yeah.
So when you say shuffle the deck, does that mean the coaching staff mostly?
Maybe, yeah.
I think
everybody.
I think it, you know, like, you guys were talking about Posey earlier and sort of like how you assess him. Just my opinion, I think 100-some-odd games is too soon to assess a GM and a front office. That's too quick. I can't make up my mind too much. All I know is he's come in and big names are now saying yes to the Giants who said no before. So I think that's a really good characteristic. It's too soon to say anything about him. But he now has a year of like, all right, I pretty much kept everybody, and now I'm going to make up my mind about it.
Mm.
And so I think that based on what has happened here, there's going to be some differences. There are some under-the-covers positives to this.
Give us one.
Well, I mean, you're probably going to get to see Bryce Eldridge now next month.
That counts.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I think everything goes into evaluation mode, and he's part of that. So let's see what he can do.
Well, that's...
Right? Let's see what he can do.
To me, that's... the bigger thing is, I just think after something like... What's the silver lining? The silver lining is that after what's happened now, you have to examine everything.
Sure. And you get to start next year now.
Yeah.
So you have a better chance of being ready to rock in April because you're going to get 2 months to lead up to it.
I'm sorry, just real quick. I'm kind of sick of the, the silver lining is in August.
No, this is
that
this
is wow.
This is not 4 years in a row.
It's awful. This is four a disaster. I'm not saying that.
No, I know you're not, but I'm not quite there yet. I'd like to see two more or even three more weeks of legitimate fight. You got to go out there and be tough.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe you can hang in because you're not so far out that you're definitely out. So
math is still there, but you just look like dead men walking.
I promised I wouldn't go to the math yet. Because, of course, the math is still there. Is the math still there for
it's
Colorado?
It's not even August 1 yet.
It might still be there for Colorado, too.
I think that ship is sailed.
If Colorado wins their final 54 games, they end up with a winning record. So we can talk math. 82-80 is still on the table for the Rockies. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's not a playoff finish, though.
No, but the math would still be there because they have not. They don't have the E next to their team name yet.
Oh, right.
They've not been eliminated.
The other teams haven't played enough games, but yeah, you're gonna get six teams north of 82 wins this year.
Yeah,
my prediction.
You're probably gonna get six teams north of 85.
Yeah,
definitely. If you're the Giants and you do want to hold on to that last gasp, you would need to win 31 of your last 53?
No, you already got six teams who have their 60th win.
Yep.
Already. Giants aren't one of them.
Right, and you can talk about six games all you want. One, two, three, four, five. You know, I got too many teams in front of them.
For sure.
Because this was kind of the way it was last year. Like, they were closer.
Each year, but...
They were closer to a wild card last year. But they still had a bunch of teams that they were going to have to leapfrog.
And I was believing.
So it's like a double whammy.
They're a game ahead of the Marlins.
Yeah.
Man.
Well, it's because they can't handle the Marlins.
Better
be lucky you don't play them again.
Remember that whole thing? They got swept by the Marlins? Well, they are the Marlins.
Yeah. And now the Pirates are the real old Marlins.
Yeah.
And they came not throwing home. I know it's just one play.
No, but it's not just one play.
But that's incredible to me, man.
They lack awareness of the field all the time.
Will, since when? When do you think it started?
I mean, I started to notice it, like, you know, 5 weeks ago.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like this early in the year. But, that's what I take away from this streak. It's not... A July swoon and just a losing streak. It's the way you're doing it. It's a ton of one-run games where you made stupid blunders over and over again. So I think it's like I don't point to in situations like this. You guys know this about me. I'm not often to point at a coach, but how do you not look at a coaching staff when it's just repeated blunders? If you're losing, you're losing. They don't look like they're getting outplayed. They look like they're playing themselves. Mm.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station, always live on the free Odyssey app and now broadcasting from the Laughing Monk Studios.
Last year, after 109 games, the Giants were a game worse than they are this year, 53-56, but they were a game closer in the wild card. They were only five back. So that's to say that what you're saying about six back and Mark is right, you're close to the Marlins, you're barely ahead of the Marlins. This year and last year have become mirror images where last year you kind of went through that same funk and after 109 you were 53-56.
Real quick, and I love that, but why it feels like it's unacceptable is you didn't have Adames or Devers.
Right. And I think
Buster Winn putting money where his mouth was.
The best bullpen in baseball and two all-star starters.
And what happened?
Well, what happened is you've got four DHs on the field at any given moment. Wow. You've got a defense that has become laughable. It's like Keystone Cops.
Yeah.
And You're starting pitching. I ran through this yesterday. You guys remember the stretch in May where they scored 30 runs in 15 games?
That was sad. Yeah.
But they went 7-8.
Right.
And it was like, how in the world? Over the last 15, including yesterday, I think they scored 58 runs or 56 runs. Way more than in May, but they were 3-12. Because two of those games you put up 9 and you won. And the other games, like yesterday, it's a winnable game and you have to make a play and your reliever isn't communicated to or doesn't realize that the guy's stealing second. And so he's thinking about a double play.
Wow, man.
And, you know, you make a mental mistake. You give up a run, and that's going to do it.
Yeah, because you can't get a runner home from second.
That's right.
You can't even put the ball in play.
Well, they bunted him over. They had two cracks at it.
Patrick Bailey,
yep.
Second and third, one out,
mm-hmm.
could not put the ball in play.
Yeah.
Could not put the ball in play. I know, you love him. You love Patrick Bailey.
You know what I hate about him?
You're done with him, aren't you?
I can't stand
You're done with him, I can tell.
But here's the thing. You know why I dislike him more than anybody else? He's a. I can't.
He's
even
a what?
Say it.
He's a what?
He's a switch hitter. He has no business being a switch hitter.
Maybe that's why he's like searching for. Can I hit over here? How about can I hit over here?
Just master one side.
I mean, well, he can use. Like, it's not good that you can use Bailey. Regardless,
he is. I like to remember in. Early school, when they would tell you if you can't say something nice about somebody, don't say it at all. Patrick Bailey is the owner of what will go down as the signature moment of the year.
Oh, there's
we'll give him that.
Yeah. The inside the Parker?
Wasn't that the most fun moment of the year?
There's no doubt.
Fun.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, the highlight. Like, that's
the highlight of the year.
No doubt
I thought you meant like signature.
Yeah. Well, I mean, call it what you want. Yeah. I mean, like.
I'm with you, Will.
Hold on. I see what you mean. You're going to say the signature moment should be a negative one.
Well, because it's
a negative season. Yes.
That's all I mean.
Yeah. Right. Maybe the signature moment of the year is Elliot Ramos not knowing the rules of the game.
Right.
Or which time.
Right.
That's
great.
I mean, the positive. I can't remember the game, but the Ramos double where he was at second base.
Clutching his fist.
That
was against San Diego, I think. I think that was against the Padres.
Yeah. I told him, random, everybody's on Yaz, and rightfully so. I just feel like I've watched this movie before, not saying he's the reason they're where they're at. But can we just see Matos for the rest of the year in right field? Are you done with him to where you think you know what Matos is? Or even if he struggled or batted 180, I kind of feel like, I see what you're doing. You're looking to see, are you all the way done with Matos, asking?
No, but someone called and said that yesterday, and I'm like,
let me see him.
But he's playing a ton this month. He's playing a ton in July. He played 13 games, got like 40 at-bats. He doesn't have any hits.
And I start feeling that way when he hit that home run against the Dodgers to tie it up. I'm just like,
Why
are we so sure this dude is?
Sure, check it out. Check it out. But he's playing. He's up. He's playing. I don't know that he needs to play every day. I don't know that he's earned playing every day.
The boss gave Steiny a question I loved. We kind of kicked it around on the show. One word to describe the state of Bay Area sports right now from you two. One word. If you mine was a transition and Steiny's was
sobering.
Mine's confusing.
I'll channel Richard Sherman and say mediocre, because the Giants are the epitome of mediocre, and the Warriors, they had to gut out a 7 seed. Who knows what they'll be? And they're in semi-turmoil with the Kuminga issue. All roads do lead back to Jonathan Kuminga.
Sure.
And the Niners coming off a 6-11. We've got high hopes, but already in camp, I see a little minor troubling signs.
Did you hear about Jennings?
D'Amino Lenore.
I didn't hear about Lenore.
He's missing at least two practices.
Yeah, Lenore, that's just, I don't think that one has the sort of.
But the Jennings calf?
The Jennings.
No timetable?
Well, not only no timetable, but when you have a sticky calf.
And where are you going?
I go
three
Kevin,
letters.
I go Kevin Durant.
ACL.
I go, no.
Achilles. But
Christian McCaffrey. Yeah. Like when you have that injury and it won't go away, like, are we talking about
you're right,
bilateral blah 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 itis?
So you're not giving that a check at all?
Well, that certainly affects this conversation.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, y'all ready to buy my Pearsall stock now?
Man.
I mean,
that's
we'll see.
Your number one receiver. Yeah, we got to see all those receivers.
I mean, let's see him actually play a game of tackle football.
He has.
But Willard, that's not good, though. Will, if what? He is your number one.
Why?
He's ain't ready for it yet.
Who said that? He's a first-round draft pick. He's supposed to be your number one.
I don't want him to have to bear that this soon.
Why?
Because I think that plays to the opposing defense.
Why?
He's good. Not Jerry Rice, and he's unproven. I like him.
But unproven is what? That doesn't mean
man,
that it's... like, you got to be...
Will, be careful. You had Debo in his prime, Ayuk, and now we're saying
no,
Pearsall.
See, I would argue the other way, Goo. Like, in football, this is so... it changes so fast. Players go from young to old so fast. Mm. And by the way, this is how this is how you win your fantasy league, Goo. Is you find the guy that nobody knows is going to pop, and then he pops. You know what I mean?
I get.
Kamara as a rookie.
But Pearsall, your number one, is not that scary.
Do you remember Anquan Boldin as a rookie? As a rookie.
Right. I didn't know he was going to do that. He was a beast.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm just saying.
I mean, if he's your best receiver week one, which he could be, what are you going to do, treat him like a third receiver?
I think that's a great thing.
I'm just wondering, how good are you? Is your passing game with a youngster
depends
being
on how good
in that
he
role?
Is.
Exactly.
The camp reports are, he looks great, the route running, the precision, all that. My concern stems more from the depth at other positions. Right. And your secondary, your safety, your corner, your receiver, your running back, if McCaffrey gets dinged up, you're going to rely on a lot of young players, not only as your backups, but also as your starters. So, I mean, hopefully it all goes great and Mykel Williams pops and, you know, your linebacker gets solved and all the rest of it. But starting to think more and more about football, and Mark always says this, there's a 100% injury rate in football.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to rely on a lot of these younger guys. And if you hit on your draft this year like you did last year, well, then you've got nothing to worry about.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's as simple as if this is the perfect year to find out how good Pearsall is.
Like,
I'll say it again. It's the perfect year. You're coming off a 6-11 season. You're a little under the radar. You think, you know, you've made some moves that indicate you as an organization believe you might be out of your Super Bowl window now. Perfect.
I looked at Pearsall as a compliment as a youngster to Ayuk and Debo last year. You're the man.
Also, I'd say this to you, because you keep saying WR1 as if like that's a lot of burden on his shoulders. I would say 49ers WR1 is very different than Bengals or Vikings WR1 because you're running around out there with McCaffrey and Kittle.
The
defense is not going to be able to be like, okay, Ricky, we're gonna stop you. You know what I mean? So I don't look at it as like go out there and carry our offense. I just think he's going to produce. I think he's going to produce. I think he's that good. I could be wrong, but I got a feeling that we're going to see good stuff from him this year.
But you want Jennings out there.
I want all of them out there. But that, this is...
And you want more money? Man.
Well, that's probably... Yeah. This probably ends that conversation for a little while.
That's like going to sell the car, then it breaks down. I'm going to come back.
I mean, if he's in a spot where he wants more money and the calf is twinging at all, I'm going to go ahead and wait. I'm going to go ahead and sit that one out and, you know, continue to negotiate while I nurse that calf.
I just thought of our guy on the Pacers. That played out right, Kevin Durant, like. Halliburton. Yeah, Halliburton.
That was a little different, though, because he was pushing for a chip game 7.
Yeah,
and, but, you know, the calf was the calf. And, you know, in that spot, you're not going to sit out and regret. You're going to sit out because you got a sore calf and your team's going to lose and you never make it to the finals again. You got to live with that. At least now he can go out and say, I gave it my all, which he did, and what happened, happened. But he was on a heater in that game.
Y'all know.
That's what hurt more.
Y'all know Pro Football Doc, David Chow.
Yeah,
right.
The doc,
he's a former Chargers team doctor, and now he does Pro Football Doc on all social media platforms.
Uh-oh.
Well, he quote tweeted Mayoko, who wrote about the Jennings situation.
What did he say?
He quote tweeted, and he wrote, these are all with question marks. Real calf strain, which can linger. More Achilles tendonitis, like Christian McCaffrey last year. or the air quotes J.C. Tretter calf strain.
I don't know what that means.
The J.C. Tretter thing? Yeah, neither do I. I'll look that up. But my Scotty point is...
Yeah, I get that. Scary.
My point is he's the reason he's doing this is I take this. This is an insinuation that this is, you know, when you get a no timetable, it's a re-aggravation.
Yeah.
This is a doctor then bringing up three situations which are all much more serious than missing 3 days of camp.
All right. Steiny was having fun and brought up money. You know, but it wasn't that. I thought that's what you were about to read.
No. Yeah. No, I think he's insinuating.
Man, that's serious, man.
Yeah, yeah. I think that, the J.C. Tretter thing, I think, is what he's insinuating is this a fake injury because of the contract situation.
Steiny, so you might be in the ballpark.
Well, that's kind of what I was just saying.
Wow.
Like, if I was negotiating.
Because no timetable dibs.
Well, maybe it's not a fake injury, but if you feel a little something and you're waiting for a contract, the worst thing you could do would go out and get hurt worse.
Right.
Then you're screwed.
Right.
All right, Buster Posey's got 50.
We're listening.
50 minutes. Coming up on 45.
We got a show meeting.
We just had ours. It's super fun.
Look at.
Wait till you find out what we're going to do. Oh, my God.
Couple great things, Stan. You're going to love them.
Look at him. Oh, my God.
And I really do like him.
All right, Jeff.
What's great is he's coming off of a vacation, so he's got extra things on that notepad.
Yep. And, but you know what? One of them, because actually it's about eight things, Steiny. One of them is that we might get to hang out next week.
I don't mind that at all.
Okay. Let's do it.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
And we'll, if we do that, we'll probably do it on 95.7, the game.
Or